Welcome to Keeping Your Together in a Stressed World with Michelle Post and Scott Grossberg. Each week, we explore down and dirty ways to stop awfulizing, catastrophizing, going down the rabbit hole, and moving through all the craziness that is happening right now. We're here to create a community of like-minded people as we give you tips, tricks, and techniques for keeping sane in an unhinged world. And now, here are your hosts, Michelle Post and Scott Grossberg.
Hey, everybody. This is Scott Grossberg, one of your co-hosts for the podcast, Keeping Your Shit Together in a Stressed World. And I'm here with my co-host, Michelle Post. Hello, Michelle.
Hello, Scott. Hi, everybody. Thanks for tuning in. Smiling ear to ear.
We've got a special recorded show today. We're not doing this live and recorded. It's just recorded today. But I wanted to broach our discussion today. As we normally do, we talk about things that are going on in your in my life. Right. And we've got some family members that we've been helping to coordinate medical care and things like that. And I got to tell you, that trying to find a doctor and then trying to find a time when they can actually get you in and coordinate things. I have seen increasingly becoming more challenging. And I noticed it with myself, by the way. There's a specialist that I've needed to see. And getting into this guy was like incredibly crazy. He's a doctor at a variety of centers. We've got a huge regional treatment medical center out here. He's on staff there. He's part of a number of private groups. Situation arose. My primary care wanted me to go see the specialist just to get some input. It's like banging your head against a wall. I'm never getting in. And finally got a hold of his nurse at one of the practice locations that he has and explained to her what was going on. I said, this can't wait, right? If there's something that needs to be done, this can't wait, blah, blah, blah. She said, let me see if we can just squeeze you in.
I know, the squeezing
right?
in.
Finally got me in. And it was within several weeks at this point, rather than you're never getting in.
Oh, well, that's good.
And which, by the way, is also another interesting thing. When you talk to these scheduling people, they only go out, at least the ones that I've seen, go out 3 months.
Okay.
So if the doctor says come back in 6 months, you have to call 2 months before that. Anyway, so that am I bitter? No. So that said, finally get into the doctor. He's freaking amazing.
Good.
And I'm explaining to him, let me tell you what it was like getting into you. And he looked at me and I was like, what are you talking about? And I said, this is what's been going on. Finally got that resolved. He gives me an email to get a hold of him.
Oh,
right. So I can actually get care and attention from him.
Wow.
Went back for whatever, a 6 month return. The first thing he says to me, I just want you to know, I'm not going to be here anymore in 2 days. I'm leaving this group and going somewhere else. I went, I go with you?
Exactly.
And he said, no, because we don't accept your insurance. And it was like,
let you pay out of pocket if they don't.
That wasn't even an option that he offered. So here's the kicker to this. Remember, this is a specialist. He's now told me that the medical group that he belongs to, he's left, and the regional facility that he's on staff, he's the only specialist for this particular area. And he's telling me they're actively recruiting, but we don't expect to have any replacement for a year. And I said, okay, so what do I do then?
What happens to me?
He said, I don't know, go back to your primary. That also said, dealing with some family members, I just want, I want the public to be aware that you can push some stuff and be proactive. There are some things that you're going to fall victim to: lack of doctors, lack of support staff, lack of knowledgeable scheduling people. And I had yesterday, I had to take somebody to the doctor. I had to be very proactive with some things.
Yeah.
And in fact, we wound up getting a substitute doctor for this family member just because they had to get in.
Wow.
Rather than this person's primary doctor.
Right.
And this individual fell in love with the new doctor. And I got to tell you that the new doctor, outstanding. I'd go to him if I had a situation like this, right?
Yes.
So this the new doctor says, we need you to come back in 6 weeks. That's a whole nother scheduling nightmare.
Yes.
We need you to come back in 6 weeks. And this family member said, great, I want you.
Uh-huh.
The old doctor will not let that happen and said, no, you must return to me. So it's like, okay. So I'm watching. Right. So right before we got online or on the air, I was telling Michelle that I was looking up the difference between a snafu,
yep,
foobar, a clusterfuck, and a shit show.
I know. And the difference is
our
you should define them.
Well, the problem is I think our medical program is like a combination of all of them.
I think so too.
And you know, I don't want to belabor the point. I was thinking maybe we just do a whole show on the difference between those terms.
That's good. Yeah, well, we should.
You know, but you know, I think people know what FUBAR is, right? Fucked up beyond all repair. These are military terms, by the way. Snafu is same situation normal, all fucked up. A clusterfuck is let me find the exact word that I was using up right here because they hold such a special place in my life right now. So a shit show starts before a clusterfuck, I think, or reversed. But anyway, a clusterfuck can also be a shit show, but a clusterfuck involves the decision making process that results in the shit show outcome, which then tells you the shit show is literally chaos, confusion, and incompetence. It's the outcome. So, and I'm watching some of these, I'm watching this, our healthcare system, and it's like,
yes,
how could we, now has this for elitist,
yes,
how could we get to this place?
I don't know, because, you know, for years, one of the big arguments about standardized medical care and medical care for all is that it would take away people's decisions and choices. And so people have fought for a long time to have their independent insurance companies, their independent choice, their independent, you know, providers. But I'm seeing it like you, and we haven't even touched the surface of mental health care, which is a totally other messed up system, where there was just a beautiful episode on John Oliver Tonight about the mental health care system, where insurance companies are carrying these lists of providers that the numbers are wrong, the providers have moved, the providers no longer accept the insurance, or the providers are full. So you could have somebody trying to, you know, in the middle of a mental health break. Now, how you can be delusional, paranoid, schizophrenic, let alone just a little bit anxious, right? You can probably handle it if you're a little bit anxious, but imagine trying to navigate that kind of a healthcare system when you're struggling with reality. You know, you're struggling with, yeah, do I see, is what I'm seeing and hearing really there?
And I think, you know, by the way, I think,
wow, rather than
belaboring the pitfall of our system, I think this is a good way to segue into today's show.
Okay.
Because yes, there are problems, right?
Yes.
But
yes,
I don't believe you would be an advocate for then just ignore it or run away from it, particularly the mental health issue. So, you know, today's show is literally all about the role of therapy in managing stress.
Yeah, yeah.
And I am noticing clients with increasing stressors.
Right.
It was right. One thing during COVID.
Right.
It's another thing, and I'm not sure what exactly the new triggers are.
I know.
You know, yes, there have been some flame-ups of COVID. Yes, We now have the threat of a new pandemic from our meat industry. Yes, they're just right.
Right.
I just bought a t-shirt, by the way, that says life is tough, be tougher.
isn't that a cure, really?
And it's, I think it's important that we at least underscore the point, just keep putting one foot in front of another to get your own mental health, wellness, right, you know, self-care done. Wouldn't you agree to that?
Yeah. And I would say if you keep running into these issues, one of the first thing you can do is research a 12-step program that you qualify in. So do you have trouble with debt? Go to Debtors Anonymous. Do you have trouble with codependence? Go to CODA, Codependence Anonymous. Are you the child of an alcoholic, an adult child of an alcoholic? That's ACA, Adult Children of Alcoholics. Do you struggle with alcoholism? Go to AA or Al-Anon. Do you have sex and love addicts? Go to SLA. I mean, find any 12-step program where you can start working at a low cost with like-minded people and working the 12 steps.
I got to tell you, it's funny that you bring that up. That's my
first recommendation.
It's funny that you bring that up because the persistence that I'm talking about.
Yeah.
Right. The self-value enough to just keep going.
Yes.
I just had to address this with another family member, mm-hmm, who was looking for an AA group.
Yeah.
And everyone that she checked into closed. They weren't meeting anymore.
Oh, but if you go
online, exactly. There are always options.
Always. There's a meeting going on right now as you and I are recording. There's a meeting,
yep,
because of the online resource and how you can attend a meeting anywhere in the world. There's a meeting like in the old days, we used to make a new time addict who was trying to get clean go to 30 meetings in 30 days. But there were no online meetings. You had to drive, find the meeting that you could get to at the time you could get to and drive to it. You can do 30 meetings in 30 days almost easily now if you just make the time for it, because they're so available at so many different times. Oh, eaters are not, you know, so if you struggle with anorexia or bulimia or Overeaters Anonymous and eating disorders, there's a 12-step for you. So there's so many 12 steps out there that people can access and it really doesn't matter what your qualifier is. So let's say you have an eating disorder, there's not a meeting near you, go to AA. That's probably the plentiful, or Narcanon. Those are probably the two most plentiful meetings that are out there. And work the 12 steps. You just have to rework it in your brain. So instead of like, I'm an alcoholic, it's I'm a codependent, you know, or I'm a debtor, you know.
So let's take a step
around whatever the problem is.
Let's take a step back even from that and unpack this a little bit, because
okay,
I thought maybe today I would just ask you questions because you're a therapist. Oh, I'm not a therapist.
Okay.
And, you know, we're talking about the role of therapy in managing stress. Let's just start with that. Let's not deal with an addict or addictive personality. It's just stress. We'll start at the bare bones.
Plain old generic stress.
And while you've talked about programs, you just gave a bunch of them.
Yeah.
Can you just let the listeners very quickly know what general techniques, kind of names and maybe a simple definition, yeah, of what is used, like CBT and things like that, in managing stress?
Right. So if you look for a therapist, which could be a licensed professional counselor, that's an LPC, or a licensed clinical social worker, that's an LCSW, or a licensed marriage and family therapist, or a psychologist. So let's just clump all those together, mental health. They're all licensed. They all have at least a master's or a PhD. They all have supervision and they are certified, tested with the state that you live in the United States. Okay, so that's your first cluster. And if you then within that group, people have a variety of what they call theoretical orientations.
All right. Before you do that, I want to interrupt you here because I want to let everybody know. Michelle is a therapist, which is why she can talk with authority about this.
Yes.
I do life and business and spiritual coaching. I am not a therapist.
Right.
So I want people to really distinguish, and I'm going to kind of take you away from what I do now and let you know. You don't go to a life coach who is not a therapist,
right,
to do therapy,
to do mental health concerns.
Yeah.
So anxiety, depression, malaise, you could do relationship issues because that's not necessarily mental health, but OCD, ADHD, you don't go to a coach if you have a diagnosed or think you have a mental health concern. Now you can go to a therapist or a coach for life issues, career issues, business issues, stress management.
Which might, by the way, have some anxiety connected with it or have some depression connected with it. But I, at least when I work with people, right up front, if I let them know if at any time during the session I sense any number of these things, I'm going to stop the session and refer you to a professional.
Right.
So now I just wanted to give that little key, because a lot of the people that listen to our show probably have astrologers, tarot readers, right, life coaches on speed dial.
Shamans.
And I don't want you to confuse those. I love all of those professions. I want you to distinguish that from what we're talking about today.
Right.
And that is a licensed mental health professional. Now,
right,
within that, you were starting to talk about the modalities.
Yeah. So within licensed mental health professionals, we have theoretical orientations. And some of the big ones are Freudian psychodynamic, like how does your relationship from a very young age with your parents and your family of origin affect you today? Right. That's one of the main focus. Within that, there's something called object relations, which is like you internalize objects that you see as your internal mom, your internal dad, your internal sibling, and then you develop stories around them and they affect your behavior and your thoughts today. So that, then we have the somatic class. So somatic meaning soma, meaning body. So we have a whole group of people that work on somatic techniques. So they do a lot of breath work. They do EFT tapping work. They do a lot of closing your eyes and attuning to your mind-body connection. Now, you can cross over in all of these fields, by the way, but that's kind of the somatic work. Then you have the cognitive behavioral, which is me. I do a mix, but cognitive behavioral is another big branch. And what they're looking at is your thoughts, that's your cognitions, your behaviors, like what do you do? And how does that affect your body? And how does that affect your emotions or your mood? And their belief is that thoughts affect your behaviors, then your emotions, then then your body or all together.
And again, I think a lot of our listeners have heard of talk therapy before. Does that fall into the CBT realm?
Yeah, all three of those fall into talk therapy so far, because talk therapy can include some breath work and it can include some, training of how to cope with your moods. So all of those are talk therapy. Then you've got a PCIT, parent-child interaction therapy, or you have, what else might be out? There's so many out there. There's postmodern therapy, narrative therapy, where it's about the stories that you're telling yourself, neuro-linguistic programming, which can be a part of a therapist can use a primary neuralistic. I mean, there's just so many. Okay. That gestalt therapy is another one of mine, which is, I like to use the internal introjects looking at, what are your different board members inside of you and who's in charge making decisions about your behavior? And do you have unfinished business from the past that needs to be healed or resentment that is unexpressed that needs to be expressed? So gestalt therapy is very feeling based. What are the feelings that are causing you? Then you've got your psychodrama therapists who that's more like helping you do things like role play, which is also gestalt, role play or psychodrama acting roles to help you heal. You've got your art therapists who help you use creative expression to help you heal. You have your play therapists who do different kinds of games and play and sand tray, and they use more creative expressions to help you heal. So that's a lot less talk. Those are a lot less talk therapy. Then you have eye movement desensitization reprogramming, EMDR, which is great for trauma, a lot less talk therapy, a lot of eye movement, or IEMT out of the UK, integrative eye movement treatment or therapy, don't get me wrong. So that's also eye movement. And those are faster trauma, brain healing, less talking versions. So a therapist can do any and all of those. They get, so a lot of people will say that they're eclectic, that they pull from different types of therapy to address the needs and to kind of make a bespoke
so with the program. With all this integration, with all this integration that's possible, how does a listener even find somebody?
Psychology Today and your insurance are like
my there you go. Okay.
Yelp is another one. Google is another one. But I would say focus on what your problem is and find somebody who specializes in that problem. Because of all the, here's the key to the key to the key to the key. Of all the different types of therapy that are out there, there's a researcher, Scott Miller, who has done a ton of research about who are the experts and what causes therapy to work and what, and he's basically found that it doesn't matter the modality you use, it matters about the relationship you have with the therapist. So it doesn't matter what modalities that therapist use, if you have a good relationship with the therapist, you are likely to develop healing. You are likely to get the results that you want. So you don't have to worry quite so much about that, but there is sort of personal preference. I use some art therapy. I use some play therapy. I'm basically Cogby to start with. And then I do some, you know, psychodrama with the gestalt stuff. So I mix things in once I get the client and the problem. But if you're looking for a therapist, so let's say you want somebody who, you know, the role of therapy in managing stress. So I've got stress. I want a therapist who specializes in stress. So I go on Google or Psychology Today or Yelp, whichever you like, and you say, good therapist specializing in stress. And then what you do is you take a look at their website, you know, their philosophy. Maybe you even make a phone call and see if you like their voice, or you find a video of theirs and see if you like their voice. I'm big on voice. I remember trying to find a new therapist once and she was like, you know, I have a cat. And if you call me between these hours and these hours, my cat is, I do therapy in, and I have the cat and the thing. If you have a cat allergy, you know, did it. And I call me between these hours, and I'm going to call you back from and this is all on her outgoing voicemail. All this stuff on her outgoing voicemail about all of these rules. And I did this click.
Yeah.
Because that's not going to work for me. Number one, I have a cat allergy. But number two, I don't want a ton of rules about how to get my therapist to call me back. And to, like, I want you to be approachable. I don't want to have to jump. Like, that tells me right away, I'm going to have to jump through a lot of hoops in order to work with you. That's not my style. I want an approachable, kind-hearted, compassionate person with a nice voice that's not irritating.
All right. So again, Psychology Today, Yelp, referrals, things like that. Now, we've got about 10 minutes left thereabouts.
Okay.
Yeah, time has flown. So
sorry.
What I did, and I thought I would throw these out at you.
Okay, I'll go fast.
I created like 10 different things that I think therapy helps with in managing stress.
Great.
Based on the research I've done.
Awesome.
And what I thought, we got 10 minutes, we'll take 10 subjects, we'll give you a minute. I'll bring it up and then kind of like you tell me if you agree that this is what therapy can do to help manage stress. Ready?
Great. I'm ready.
Number one, the therapist can help you as a patient identify your stress triggers.
Yep. What stresses you out? What doesn't? What's safe? What's not? Absolutely.
Yeah. I mean, and again, from personal experience, right? There are times when I get stressed. I don't even freaking know I'm stressed.
Right. They can help you know figure out what's going on in your body, what to look for, to be more attuned and mindful. Absolutely.
So I want to emphasize here, because you've talked about various modalities, that depending on the therapist, they're going to help you identify both physical and emotional triggers, right?
And thought and cognitive. Uh-huh.
Got it. Okay. And I take it that with that then becomes item number two, the therapist will help you develop better coping strategies.
That's right. They will help you experiment, explore, try on things. They'll hopefully teach you. They will educate you on the different modalities of stress management. And especially if that's their specialty, they can do everything from biofeedback to mindfulness training, to meditation training, to breath work, all kinds of good stuff.
So you just actually brought up something I was going to ask you about earlier on, and that's these coping mechanisms can include relaxation techniques,
body scanning. Body scanning, active progressive muscle relaxation.
Right. So we've done many shows on mindfulness practices, certainly deep breathing. And I do want to let listeners know, if you have not already heard them, we've done specific shows on somatic techniques and even art therapy. Some of the best things I've had fun with from our show was the art therapy class.
I know, early on.
And it's like, oh my God, I'm going to do this and I won't ruin it for everybody. So, bear in mind that a therapist will bring what I believe are called evidence-based techniques to you.
Yes. Ideally, if that is their shtick and they love evidence-based training, which I definitely do, they will bring you evidence-based options and choices to try on and explore, including one that we didn't mention, like some therapists are trained in hypnosis, visualization. There's one other one that we didn't mention that it'll come to me later. But of different coping skills that you can learn from.
So now that you've brought up these other skills, including hypnosis, the third topic that I thought we would talk about briefly was helping the patient change thought patterns.
Yes. So COGBI, a therapist that's trained in cognitive behavioral therapy, CBT, or hypnosis, or EMDR, they are really skilled at helping you reframe and change your thought patterns and explore distorted thoughts, erroneous thoughts, assumptions that are not working for you, historical rules from your family of origin that are no longer working for you, and help you reframe those into more supportive, less stress-inducing inner dialogue.
Yeah, and again, we've done a whole show on logical fallacies and cognitive distortions yes. that people can go back and replay as they need. I made a quick little note here. I have looked at this topic, the role of therapy and stress management, as the therapist is a guide, for lack of a better way to put it,
right,
to help you, the patient, get more balanced thinking.
That's right.
Does that make sense?
For me, yes. As a copy, you hit it. And they provide a confidential, private, safe space to explore those parts of your experience that don't feel appropriate for a cocktail or a coffee house conversation with a friend.
I am so glad you brought that up, because I want to let everybody know that unless there's some new rule out there, when you go to a therapist, mm-hmm. it's protected communication.
It is.
Confidential, absent
yep.
a threat of somebody's life or imminent harm to yourself, right? Then people have to intercede. But the reality-
You can even go to a therapist and talk about past crimes.
Correct.
That you've committed, and that therapist cannot share that information. They only must reveal break your confidence if it's a future crime or harm to others or harm to self or a child.
So I've always loved, because I always examine and look at people in my field, uh-huh. I love life coaches who coaches of any kind who talk about confidentiality.
Uh-huh.
Right. At least here in California, there's no such thing.
Coaches are not private. They might do that ethically, but they're not legally bound.
Correct. Right. So if again, in California, if you go to court, I can't compel as a lawyer, a judge could not compel Michelle to disclose the contents of a patient communication.
That's right.
But if Scott is in court, the judge, there's no protection. There's no confidentiality. No. So I want everybody to know that. All right. You mentioned the rapport between the therapists. I think a lot of what this balanced thinking and helping people cope with stress is that the therapist also provides emotional support. Yeah.
Yes. Yes. In a way, like, of course we want you to have good social support with friends and family, right? But let's face it, your friends and your family have another agenda themselves. Okay. They've got their own agenda going on. They want you to listen to them. You know, they want you to solve their problems too, which is great. That's an ebb and flow that we want for you. But a therapist is solely there to focus on your needs and wants. And it's an incredibly nurturing experience to just be able to accept that care and not have to give anything in return other than the professional relationship that you have.
Yeah. Now I'm looking at the time here. Let's cover one more in depth, and then I'll go through the others and you pick whichever one you think is more important.
Okay.
But you know, the fifth one I have down here is helping the client build resilience.
Oh yeah.
You know, I like to call it equanimity, right? The water right. off the back of the duck.
Right. Right. That's super important.
Okay. And I take it that's something you do with a patient is helping them not only develop a coping mechanism, but helping them future pace. This is what, well, you know, this is how we handle things. Here are the mechanics. Right. Here's the script you can follow, right?
Right. I've helped people address employment issues, talking to a boss, changing policy, practice speeches and presentations, develop resiliency to face future problems and develop their own problem solving skills. Like people, I can tell people are coming to the end of therapy when they're like, I feel like I had a little Michelle on my corner when I addressed this problem. And I was like, that's awesome.
All right. So I'm going to give you the next five. You pick whichever one you think is most important for us today. All right. For managing stress. Number six, I have down helping the patient client come up with the time, the space for their own self-reflection.
Okay.
Number seven, helping the client address underlying issues they might not otherwise have been aware of, right? A lot of times I know this, people come with one problem, but that's not the problem.
Right.
Number eight is actually helping people with better goal setting or purpose finding.
Absolutely.
Number nine, avoiding and or preventing burnout. We've done a lot about that. And then finally, I talked about evidence-based, but it's also providing professional guidance, right? You guys are real world folks that can also help with the life work harmony.
Right.
So which of those do you want to take just a minute and talk about?
Can we go in a totally different direction? And I'm going to share with people about how therapy helps me manage stress. So when I'm a client, I'm going to be transparent. Therapy creates a private space for me to talk about anything and everything I want to that's non-judgmental and helpful. It helps me develop my problem-solving skills and teaches me problem-solving skills. It helps me identify things I don't know about myself, like you said, that I really need to work on that might be the root of the problem, right? Like patterns that I'm repeating that are getting in my own way and stumbling. It gives me a good place to empty out. Like if you have a stressful job or a stressful life or just a difficult situation going on, it gives me a space to empty out and get that cleaned out of me. So I'm not carrying it around alone. And builds self-esteem and self-confidence and love and self-compassion. So in terms of like the role of therapy in managing stress, I continue as a therapist, I'm constantly exposed to stressful situations and vicarious trauma. Anybody in healthcare is. So I definitely use it to keep myself clean and burnout prevention, because you can't have chronic stress exposure and not get burned out. So that's a main reason why I stay in therapy. It's less about my childhood now than it ever used to be. It's less about problem solving skills because I've learned that, but it's more about burnout prevention and just keeping that stress management healthy, not unhealthy.
Wonderful. All right. So we've put a lot into this show, and it is intended obviously not to replace the therapy, but to give you hope and to give you a path forward. If you have any questions at all about therapy, reach out to Michelle. Michelle, how can they get a hold of you?
Through my website, it's postinternationalinc.com. And you've got my phone is on there and my contact me is on there. And I'm happy to answer other questions that we didn't get to today.
Perfect. Next week, we're going to move into my geeky, weird, nerdy world of math. And we've kicked this one around a bit. We're going to actually get into the secret math of surrender.
Yes.
And it's going to be fun. I've got some stuff I'm going to share with you. You don't have to be a math fan, but it will make sense because this is the way I think. I put things in mathematical equations, and I'll kind of explain what I do in the context of what surrender is. And surrender does not mean giving up, just as a little tease. Thank you all for listening. And it's been quite a show today, packed with a lot of stuff for you to consider. Again, if you need help, please get a hold of someone like Michelle, if not Michelle. And for those of you that are fans of our podcast, please continue to like, share, and subscribe on your favorite platform. Until next time, bye-bye.
Bye.
You've reached the end of another episode of Keeping Your Together in a Stressed World with Michelle Post and Scott Grossberg. If you like our show, we'd love for you to subscribe, rate our broadcast, and leave a review. The podcast is for general information only and not intended to be legal or mental health advice, nor the formation of a lawyer-client, nor therapist-patient relationship. Stay tuned for our next episode, and thank you for listening.